Kane Trio for that wonderful, what a wonderful world this is. So thank you, thank you, thank you. Well, good morning, beloved ones.
Good morning.
And you know what? The sun is shining.
Yes.
It's shining brightly. You know, sometimes when we judge by appearances, we can be misled. We can look outside and say, oh, it's raining, it's glooming, the sun is not shining. But if the sun were never not to shine, we'd be in trouble. It's shining somewhere beyond the clouds. And so we're grateful that you are with us this morning. And those of you who are joining us at home or online, we welcome you. And we can feel the sunlight of your rays, too, coming through. So thank you for being here this morning to each and every one of you. It's a full morning. I was telling somebody I barely have time to give a talk with so much stuff going on. Woo! As I said, there's a lot going on today. But that's good. That's good. So we have new life, a new christening from a new family, a new soul, new members. Wonderful. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Woo! Let me see if I have any time to give a talk. So we have a lot going on, and we want to take time to certainly acknowledge people who are willing to step up and serve, who are willing to commit to join, whose parents and grandparents have decided that it's important to dedicate their child, to bring their child into a spiritual environment so that they understand the presence of God in their lives as well and to be blessed by a community. And so this is really important. But you know what? Even though there's a lot going on, I think I would be remiss if I didn't also mention that tomorrow we're going to celebrate Memorial Day, I think. It's time for us to really be in tune with that. It is going to be the 31st, actually, but I want to do that just in case I'm not able to do that, to remember those who we love and those who serve and those who have released the form of their physical being. But we want to remember people who give their all, who gave their all to everything. That's the ultimate service, is to give, you know, when you give your life, it's the ultimate service. They gave it all. And perhaps there are family members or friends that are no longer with you, but you want to remember them too, that they in fact, you know, celebrated and gave their all. And when I think about my time here at Unity of Washington, D.C., one of the things that I think I can say is that I truly gave it my all. I gave it my all. Yeah. And I was asking myself, has it been easy? Now, I can't tell you the answer that I really said to myself, but I'll just simply politely say, no. But I hung in there because it was my calling. It was my calling and my duty to God. Sometimes we have a calling and sometimes we have a duty, you know, to give. If you're parents, you now have a duty to that child, right? And so I hung in there because it is my calling and it is my duty. And I did it also because of my love for all of you. And then I wrote, well, most of you anyway, you know. I have to laugh, because if I can't laugh, then I can't, you know. I love you all. And that's what enables me to be here, lo, these many, many years. And I thought, well, I had a part to play. I had a part to play. I was given an assignment, and I had a part to play, and I played it. Now, some may think I played it well, and some may think I didn't play it well enough or whatever, but I played it with everything that I had. I did my part as much as I could. And you all have a part to play. You have a part to play not only in your own lives, but you have a part to play in this church, in the life of this church as well. This is your spiritual home. This is your church, and every everybody is called. If you're here, it's because you were called to be here. You're called to contribute something to the well-being of this community, right? And I'm not just talking about called to the well-being of our finances, you know, or to sharing of your treasures and your financial gifts. Those are all welcome and certainly needed and necessary. But I'm speaking about that you are called to share something of yourself, right? You are here to share something of your time and your talents. No, not just your treasure, but all of those things as well. Because it's not enough, friends, to sit in the pews and just soak up the message and the meditation and the music, although all of that is wonderful. I love sitting, you know, I love speaking and being here, but I also love sometimes sitting and receiving, hearing the message, receiving the message, hearing and feeling the music, dwelling in the meditation. It's wonderful. But there's also an extra added benefit and blessing that you can receive as well. You can be blessed by sharing something of yourself, by being an instrument through which God works through you in his service, in his purpose. You are an instrument through which God is working right now. You are the light of the world. You are that sacred being that has something to contribute to life, or you would not be here, right? And so this is a wonderful opportunity for us to figure out, well, what is it that I'm to be in service of in life in general? And we all know the world needs our light right now. We talked about, you know, sunshine and shining the light. Do not think that one person cannot affect or change this world. Because as I've said often, we see that one person is affecting and changing this world. Not necessarily for the better, but it still has a purpose. But you too have a purpose for being. And you too can have an effect by living your life in a certain way and in a certain consciousness. And I wrote down here, I want us to think about this. We always heard that we are the ones that we've been waiting for. Have we heard that? Everybody's heard that. We're the ones that we've been waiting for. And in my meditation, I said, ooh, we are the ones that God is waiting for. We're the ones that God is waiting for. Because God is waiting for us to be the vessel through which God can accomplish God's work. We are God's hands. We are God's feet. We are God's heart and love. Love is expressed, right? The love of God gets expressed through who? Through us. Right? How are we going to know the love of God if it doesn't necessarily come all through you, through you, through you? We are the ones that are doing the work of the divine, and that's a sacred call, friends. We're here for this high purpose, and so God is waiting for us to do our part. To shine brightly, to take all of the gifts and the talents that he has placed within us for his purpose, to do his will and his work. And the thing is, this is the good news, he gives us all gifts according to his purpose. So I want you to listen to this scripture that talks about spiritual gifts, okay? And I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4 through 11. Let me take these off so I can see what I'm doing. And it says, there are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. Right? There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so that we can help each other. I want you to hear that. A spiritual gift is given to each of us, not just for ourselves, so that we can glory in our own magnificence, but you have a spiritual gift that is given you so that you can help one another. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge.
The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still, another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts, and He alone decides which gift each person should have. He alone decides what gift each person should have. Now, these are some of the gifts that are outlined in the scripture, but there are many, many other gifts and talents that we have that serve not only us, but they are given to us to serve the greater good, to serve with a high purpose. And so when I think about this, I'm thinking, wow, I used to always believe I didn't have any gifts or talents because I was equating talent with singing or painting or writing. I mean, I can't do any of that, you know. But it was, of course, as I grew as a being, I recognized what my spiritual gift was. But I used to think I didn't have one. And I guarantee there's somebody here thinks, I don't have a spiritual gift. I don't have anything special. But we cannot think that because everybody has been given a gift, a spiritual gift. There is something that is unique only to you that no one else can give or do or express like you do. You are a unique being. Even the fact that you arrived here on the planet as a being, you beat out all the other people and biological energies, you know, kind of vying for life. You made it. You made it for a purpose and for a reason. So you have something that is unique to you. You have a gift. Now, I know it's easy to look at some of the what I call grandiose gifts and wish that you had some of those. Because I used to say, oh, why couldn't you make me a singing? Ooh, if I was a singing preacher, I'd be bad, you know. Why didn't you give me that, Lord? And I try to sing along with the choir, but that's, you know, that's just not one of my gifts. But we may have some of these grandiose ideas of, I wish I had that gift, or I wish I had that ability. But trust me, you are perfectly designed just the way you are with the right and perfect gift for you and your life that only you can bring. Now, we may have to take a little time to uncover and discover our spiritual gift and our purpose. But that's life. But as we grow, we do find something that is uniquely us. Now, I remember I always admired those who had the gift of healing. I'm talking about physical healing. And I used to admire this when I was a child. I don't know if any of you remember. I'm going to date myself. But this was when Oral Roberts used to come on TV. And all for some of you younger folks, Oral Roberts was a traditional Baptist minister. But he would come on and he would have these healing sessions. And there'd be people, they'd be wheeled up in wheelchairs. And he had all kinds of people. And then, of course, he would say something or touch it, and the people would jump up. And I was like, wow, I was a child, right? Wow, this is really powerful. I wish I had that what gift and that ability. And then he would say, put your hand, if you want to be healed or something, put your hand on the TV. Now, I'm a kid, but I put my hand on the TV. You know, I always had a spiritual inclination, right? So I put my hand on the TV expecting to somehow have something magically happen and to get the gift or whatever. And I just went, okay, that's simply not my gift, as I matured and understood that, you know, certain things are, and I'm not going to poo-poo it because I've been also in an environment where I have seen literal, real spiritual healing take place. So that is a possibility. I'm not too sure of what was happening on TV and all the people in the wheelchair running around, but it is possible, right? But I admired that when I was young. And then I grew up. And when I was in my prayer and meditation time, and at that time I had discovered unity as a young person. I discovered unity in my 20s. And I'm
I'll just say I'm decades. I've been on this path for, I'm going to say, at least 5 decades or more. Okay? But I, you know, as a young person, I found unity and spirituality in my teens, but my path is unity. But anyway, so I was in meditation, and I was admiring, I said, well, talking about gifts and, wow, what's my purpose and what would you have me do? And this is what I heard. You know, in the early days, God would literally, I would hear these speakings. And so I heard, you will be a healer of the mind. And when I heard that, within my soul, I thought, well, what's that supposed to mean? What's that all about, right? But later little did I know that I would actually then become a minister and someone who was called to help heal the mind as a spiritual teacher, right? As someone who was studying the truth and metaphysics and helping to counsel and to impart whatever understanding I had to share what I consider the anointed word, not my words, but the anointed word of God. I had no idea. But that is how God chose to use me. That was what God said will be your divine purpose and gift, all right? And so I thought, oh, as an adult, I get it now. You know, as a person who's on this end of it, I see it and I get it. And it wasn't how I thought I was going to be, walking like, you know, Oral Roberts and just walking around and bam, you healed and you healed and bam, you healed, you know. It didn't work like that. But I have no idea of how many people the word of truth that I have shared has touched people. And it's not for me to know, but I know that the word has gone out. And even now, look, we have people joining from Australia. Somebody's hearing the word in Connecticut. Somebody heard the word in Georgia. God is doing a work. And we never know how God is going to work through us to touch another life or to touch another soul. So sometimes you may think, well, I'm not really doing anything special. You are special. There's someone that you have touched, you have blessed, you have helped, you have healed, you have taught, you've comforted, just even by your presence of being who you are. You don't have to have anything flashy and shining. Maybe you smiled at the stranger on the street who was thinking about going home and taking their lives, but they saw you and you welcomed them, a stranger, with a smile and a greeting. That instant changed that person's being, and we have no idea how many people we touch in life. Because we are here to what? Touch each other, serve each other. And we are being the vessels through which God is doing God's work. Not just as a minister standing up here. You are ministering to every soul whose path you cross. You're doing a mighty work. And it's a powerful work. And it'll be a work that is designed just for you. So we don't want to really covet somebody else's gift. Spend some time uncovering your own gift. And then once you get an inkling, give that your all. Give your all to what God has given you to do. And the good news is everybody has a gift. And everybody's gift matters. Everybody's gifts. And I'll say gifts plural because we have more than one gift, okay? But all of our gifts mattered, even though all of the gifts are not the same. Your gift and my gift are not going to be the same. So don't worry covering somebody else's position, somebody else's gift. Work on your own gift that God has given you. So I want to continue with the scripture that we started with, 1 Corinthians. And this is 12, verses 12 and then 14 through 27. And so it says here, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. And so it is with the body of Christ. And we are the body of Christ, right? And then it says, yes, the body has many different parts, not just one part. If the foot says, I am not a part of the body because I am not a hand, that does not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye,
What would it make? Would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then how would you hear? Or if your whole body was an ear, how would you smell anything? But our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, some parts of the body that seem the weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with the greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together with such extra honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for each other, right? So it's this thing about the body, he's also equating it to the body of the church, right? The body of the church, or the body of life itself, because the church can be also humanity, right? And he said, this makes for harmony among the members, said all the members care for each other. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. All of you together are Christ's body, and each of you is a part of it. All of you are it, and you are a part of it. Now, I like this particular scripture because it tells me that we all have a role to play in life, whether you're in your home, whether you're a parent or a spouse, you know, or a sibling, or whether you work in an organization, on your job, you have different parts, right? Or whether you're in the church, there are different parts. Everybody has a part to play. And all of it is meaningful and significant. But if I'm at the home and I say, well, you know, I'm the eye and I want to be the hand, right? Well, why are you giving the hand this? Because I'm the foot and I think I should be like the hand, and the head saying, wait a minute, you know, I'm the head, and the heart saying, I'm over all of y'all. Because if I go, you all go, you know. So now the heart's going to say, well, yeah. All of that. And this is what happens when we gather together in whatever configuration. We have humanity and society. And so we've got some people feeling, well, I got a lot of money, so we should be the head, you know? And then the other people in the world are saying, but wait a minute, you can't do anything without it. If we don't buy your products, if we don't make your goods, you ain't going to do nothing without us. See, so everybody is vying for importance and position, but all of it is for the body. And it is not for the edification just of one sense of self, but that the whole will thrive. Now, this is what happens, you know, and it's human nature. It's human nature. But what would happen if each of us decided we wanted to just contribute whatever gift we have to the whole, whatever it is, you know, so there's a part, but with the part is also a part of the whole. And the whole is a part of the individual pieces. All of us make up the whole, but we have a part to play. Everybody has a part to play. And if we all played one part, we'd have a discombobulated whole, right? We got to get this together. We all have gifts. So I'm asking you, what are your gifts? Are you in tune with the gifts that you have? And how are you sharing them? And I, you know, with me, I love to go to AI, and this is the gift, this is what I asked AI this morning. And I said, how can we use one's spiritual gifts? Okay, I don't know where that is, but that just came to, let me go on here. One second. How can you share or use your spiritual gifts? And this is what I asked AI. And it said, spiritual gifts aren't meant to be kept to yourself, right? They are essentially tools designed to build up the people around you. They are used to build up, to edify, right? So whatever gift you have is to build up and to edify what, not just yourself, but the people around you, and bring more light into the world. Discovering them is only the first step.
Figuring out how to let them flow naturally into your daily life is where the real magic happens. So, then it says, here's a practical look at how you can share and activate these gifts, whether you lean toward the traditional framework of, you know, spiritual gifts as the Bible outlines it, or from a more universal, intuitive approach to energy and wisdom. And the first thing to do is to activate or to share. It says, look for the flow state. The flow state. I like that, right? The easiest way to identify how to use a gift is to notice when your actions feel effortless and deeply fulfilling. That's a sign that you are in the flow with your gift. You are in alignment with what you should be doing, right? How you should be sharing. So then they give some examples. If your gift is encouragement or uplifting others, you might find people naturally open and drawn to you. Well, then share this by actively listening without judgment. A timely, sincere word from you can completely shift someone's day or give them the strength to keep going. If your gift is discernment or intuition, you have a natural ability to read the energy of a room. I can read the energy of a room, right? We all can, most of us, right? You can tell when you go into a room, is this going to be a friendly, supportive environment? Or what's happening here? People don't have to say, if you sit back and watch and look at the dynamics, you're going to tell what's happening in the room. Who's positioning for what and what's happening here? Who's silent but powerful? Everybody listens because when that person speaks or who's speaking all the time and, you know, think of their pattern. Nope. You read the energy. So this is a gift of discernment or intuition. So it says, use this gift to protect your environments. Offer grounded guidance when loved ones are confused or to help others see truths that they might be blind to. If your gift is teaching or sharing wisdom, you excel at breaking down complex, deep, or metaphysical concepts into ideas that comfort and guide others. So I'm going to claim this gift for me. Share this through writing, mentoring, or simply holding space for deep conversations. And then you want, he or it, anchor, Gemini is the one I'm using, anchor these gifts in your daily routines. You don't need a massive platform or a formal role to use your gifts. This is what I like. You don't need some big, you know, this is my gift and I have a stage and I'm singing to millions. I'm like Beyonce. No, you don't need, it's not going to happen. Maybe my stage is just to the dog or the cat, whatever. But what you give in that environment to the dog or the cat, you can still give your gifts, right? So the most powerful sharing happens in ordinary moments. What are you doing in your life ordinarily? When you're driving, when you're cleaning the house, when you're out to dinner with friends, what are you doing that is sharing an essence of who you are, your gift? And, you know, you can do it in your community, offer your presence to local spaces, whether that's volunteering, helping your neighbors, participating in circles where collective well-being is the focus, in your relationships. Be intentional to be an anchor for your family or your friends. That family here has a unit there. They're being intentional with each other. They came to support each other, to anchor that sense of commitment with each other, right? That's a gift. To show hospitality, if your gift is hospitality or comfort, creating a warm space. There's so many ways to do this. So whatever it is, to keep your gifts healthy and impactful, there's some principles you want to know. And the first thing that I love, it was to recognize this. Spiritual gifts are channeled through you, not manufactured by you. They come through you. What is natural, right? Approaching them as a vessel keeps your ego out of the way. Become that vessel. I remember when I first began speaking and here as a minister, and I was trying to please everybody. And so some people, when I was writing my talk, some people would say, well, you know, I like a lot of Bible in my message. So my next few talks, I put a lot of Bible in there. And then somebody else said, well, you know, I'm not so much of a Bible person, but I like metaphysics. So then I changed and I was putting a lot of metaphysics in it. And then someone else came and said, well, you know, that's really good, but I like Unity's general approach. I like the psychological approach. So I started putting some more psychological approach. And then somebody else said, well, I said, wait a minute. And all of that, I was trying to do it all. Right? To please everybody. And I was losing myself in the process. And so I said, you know what, God, I can't do it this way. You tell me what you want me to say and how you want to use me as a vessel. And that's the message and lessons that I will give and share. And it was at that point that it became natural and authentic. And those we had, I used to teach this to my students when I taught communications, and I would say the scripture says that your sheep will hear your voice. Right? Everybody, so my voice is not for everybody. There are people who will come in here and say, oh no, this, I don't know what they're talking about, and run. This is not their place, and that's fine. Somebody else might need the voice that's gonna beat them into submission, you know, or guilt them into, that's fine too. So find the path that is yours. But I recognize I can't be everybody's path. I can only do what God. So let me be a vessel. Let me see what's the message. And that's what I do to this day. You can ask my staff when they, what's the title? I say, I'm working, waiting for God. Let me see. Let me see. I have to let me see what's going on. So it says, I love that. Just recognize your spiritual gifts are channeled through you, not manufactured by you. Approaching them as a vessel keeps your ego out of the way. And this is a very important part, too, about your gifts. Honor personal boundaries. Not everyone is ready or willing to receive what you have to offer. Right? I'm not saying that this is what AI is saying is. Share your insights and energy or wisdom wherever it is welcomed and invited rather than forcing it. So you have a gift, but your gift may not be for everybody. And the Spirit will guide you to your right. We have your right and perfect place for the right and perfect expression of who you are, who God has created you to be. So you will find yourself. And then he has this other this statement here, which I love too, to keep yourself in touch with your gifts. Replenish your own well. Because you may have your gifts, but you know, sometimes I'm going to try to give my gift to everybody. Let me give it out. Pouring out requires filling back up. So you may have a gift and a talent, and these, like some of our performers and talent, they go on the road and they give all these shows, and then some of them end up just, you know, collapsing or whatever. You have to not only pour out and share your gift, but you must be a vessel to receive so that your pouring out is strong. So pouring out requires filling back up. If you are using gifts of healing, empathy, or deep guidance, then prioritize quiet time, meditation, and rest so you don't experience spiritual burnout. So how are you balancing your gifts? How are you using them? Because you want to use them to bless others, but you need to be blessed in the process as well, right? So you've got to watch what's happening with your gifts. And then he quotes here Leo Buscaglia. Again, I don't know, that's back in my day, Leo was very popular. And he said, your talent is God's gift to you. What you do with it is your gift back to God. You know, using your gifts is ultimately an act of trust. When you act on those quiet inner nudges to reach out, speak up, or create space for someone else, you're putting your gifts to work exactly as they were intended. So friends, this world needs your gifts. And God is waiting for us to be the ones that God can use. Us to be the ones that God can, you know, move mountains and move this world into a better place. And so serving is good. I thank all the people who have served this ministry. And it's whether they're down in hospitality or the bookstore or ushering or working with our Sunday school people. Everything is serving the body. And I'm big on serving. Whatever you do, we're here to serve what? The body of the whole. Not ourselves, Not our individuals. How is what I'm doing serving a group? Function. It's the function. We can't function. The eye, the hand, the ear, all the parts are needed to function. So how are we serving the functioning of this ministry in this church? This is your church. Participate in it. This is your spiritual community. Participate in it. This is your life. Do what? Participate in it. So only half of you gonna participate? Okay. All right. This is your life. Do what? Participate in it. And when you do, give it your all. Give it your all. Give it your all. Because when we give it our all, we'll be surprised at what God gives us in return. Right? So I just say to you, what part are you playing? What part are you being called to? Play it well. Play it well. Namaste and blessings. Namaste and blessings. Oh, blessings. Blessings, blessings.